it's really fun when you've had a burden and a message for a city, and then, you know, the date gets canceled, so you get to brood for another month. You know, and that word about the womb, you know, it's actually a word over this city. And when we actually, you know, began to think about Nashville and coming here, and I'll tell you a little bit more of that story, but this is all I could hear in the spirit about coming was call the old women, the young women, the weeping women, the wailing women. There's something God is doing in Nashville. And even as we began to get ready to launch the Women on the Front Lines conference, all of a sudden, men on the front lines decided to join us. Children on the front lines is coming in. And it's like God is forerunning something because the send is coming here, right? And so God is getting ready to do something that you've all been praying for a long time. And I feel today to just, I have two things. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Women on the Front Lines, but in the context that I hope will encourage you in your own journey. And then I have a specific message and word for you, for Nashville, that the Lord gave me to just release to you, just to encourage you. And so sometimes we just need to hear the story. You know, like, we need to hear the story of what God can do in someone's life. And you see, I was hidden for 50 years. Completely hidden. So that you would have never heard of me. No one had heard of me at all because I was in Canada in a basement in a church, like many of you, doing things for people. You know, I grew up in the Lord. I got saved at 18, radically out of a kind of a dark lifestyle. And I really relate to the Jesus People movement because I'm that old, even though I'm told I don't look it. But I came in during a season. It was probably to the end of the Jesus Revolution period. But I came in out of drugs and out of a lifestyle like that and into the kingdom. And when I was really young, there was some major prophetic words given over me. Have you ever had a major prophetic word and you're like, whoa? And it was about being a global leader and an influencer. And of course, when I was 20, one of the words was, I see you surrounded by a multitude of spiritual children. And God's going to give you spiritual children all over the globe. So at 20 years old, I tried to go find them. And I couldn't make that happen at all. And there came a point, like it did for many of you, where I had to just, I didn't understand it. And I couldn't make it happen. And I just let it go. You know, I just laid it on the altar and I let it go. And I just got busy about the work of God. I just showed up. And I showed up and I showed up and I showed up. In fact, you know, it was a strong prophetic call on me. But the Lord's like, don't take a title. Just don't do that. Here's your job. Our lead pastor called Dwayne and Tamara. Here's your title. Help Dwayne and Tamara. And there was something in me that was so grassroots in a way about building the local church and building the city. And my city is very unusual. We are actually right in the center of North America. What I'm about to say to you plays into what God is going to do here in Nashville. Because there's something I'm carrying that's a little bit of displacement for something that's going on or has been going on in Nashville. And see, we've had the largest March for Jesus in the world in our little city. James Gall, actually, Cindy Jacobs, all these people get coming into Winnipeg in a season. And we have this thing we do every year. It's called One Heart. And we gather all of the pastors in the city and all the priests and all the Orthodox priests. Every single Christian in the city comes together in our arena for one service. And we worship together and we take communion. So see, there is a laying down of lanes of competition in order to accomplish what God wanted to do. And I heard him saying when I came in this morning, he said, this worship alliance is the heart of the Father and the heart of the city. That's what you are. That's who you are to the Lord. And you're beating with his heart for what is going to happen in this city. And you see, when I was hidden until I was 50, and I was really content helping Dwayne and Tamara. And by that time, I was ordained and I was a pastor on staff. And I was just full of joy in what I was doing until suddenly I wasn't. And it was a suddenly where a discontent came in for the old dreams that God had given. Like many of you, where suddenly something is stirred. The Jesus Revolution comes up in Jerry and he's like, this is who I am. right? And so this thing was stirred in me, and I really had no idea why, what was going on inside. But I was scrolling down Facebook one day, and there came up Patricia King's picture. And I'd only ever been in one Women on the Front Lines, and I was sitting in the back row. I remember it, because being the little helper I was sitting making Christmas ornaments for the pastors in our city in the back row of Women on the Front Lines in 2011. And so this was in 2015. And I heard the Lord say, go to Arizona. And I completely dismissed it. I thought that was crazy. I'm going to Arizona. Why would I go to Arizona? That's like expensive. Because there was no cheap airlines then. And so I pushed it away. And then the next day, go to Arizona. And then the hounds of heaven came after me. And it was, go to Arizona, go to Arizona, go to Arizona, go to Arizona. So I went to Arizona eventually. And I remember sitting on the plane. And it was like a $1,200 ticket and an $800 hotel. And I don't even know where I'm going. And the devil was coming at me saying, you're crazy. What are you doing? And I went there. And absolutely nothing happened. In the natural, it looked like. I joined this little group they were starting called Women in Ministry Network, and it was Help Women in Ministry Network. And I just began to get involved, and I wasn't looking for anything. I was just serving, because that's my DNA at that point. And so the spring of 2019 came around. I'd come and served at conferences. I'd done different things. And I was in a prayer time with my friend in Canada. And I'm just helping at the edge of a movement. And all of a sudden, I had a vision of heaven. And this lady stepped out of a crowd in the vision of heaven. And it was a very real vision. And she said, my name is Michael Ann Gall, and I'm going to be your advisor in the next season. I didn't even know who she was. Oh, that is the craziest vision. And 4 weeks later, Patricia King approached me and said, I've been watching you for the last 5 years. People actually are watching you, by the way. Okay? You know, and God is watching you. And she said, I've been watching you, and I've watched you walk through things, and I've been looking for a new global leader for Women on the Front Lines, and I believe that it's you. And so I went from the, like, think about it, from the back row. There's like an acceleration in the spirit in this season for people who were hidden. And you're not too old, and you're not too invisible, and you're not too unqualified, because God has actually been preparing you. And there was this guy in your country, you know, I'm Canadian, so we don't get all the news you get. But there was this guy in your country named Captain Scully, and he landed a plane on the Hudson River. And they were interviewing him about that landing of that plane. And they said, were you scared you couldn't do it? Did you think you were going to crash? And he said, no. He said, everything I'd gone through up until this point was a preparation for that moment. And I believe God's word to Nashville and to some of you is everything you've gone to up until this moment is a preparation for what God is about to do in this nation. To the point where he will take a woman from Canada and say, go in there and encourage these people. And so I was running Women on the Front Lines. And we decided, you know, just before the pandemic, that we needed to do a global conference. And as I was walking and praying, this little whisper of Nashville came up to me. But I went, no, that's crazy. Too far, too expensive. You know, hotels, no, it's just not going to happen. I didn't even know that Women on the Front Lines was birthed, because I was new. I'd just been commissioned. I didn't know it was birthed here. So the pandemic hit, and we're just building Women on the Front Lines online. We're doing all kinds of things. And the biggest thing God did with me is he said to me, I want you to change the atmosphere of women's ministry. Because I loved women's ministry, but I hated the competition and the jealousy and the backstabbing that I saw right from the, you know, the congregation to the highest levels of spiritual celebrity culture that I was shockingly encountering in this journey. And, you know, sometimes when you've been hidden for 50 years, you have a fresh perspective. And so the Lord says, I want you to change the atmosphere. And I said, okay, I'd love to get rid of that. And so what the Lord did is he allowed me to be thrown into an arena with some of the most aggressive, jealous, competitive, vicious women in leadership I had ever met in my life. And they had slander campaigns about me, and they attacked me, and they tried to take me out. And the Lord said to me in this process, after I got up off the floor where I was crying and broken and damaged and devastated, as we get when these things happen, he said, it's not enough for you to forgive them. If you want to take this realm, you need to actually love them and bless them and get behind them and help them get into their place. And you see, what I want to say to you, Nashville, is that you are living in the epicenter of celebrity culture in the world. There is no place that has more jealousy and competition to get to the top. But you see, the church has an opportunity in this moment to take the realm because of who you are. Because we can actually do this because Jesus said we could in the book of Matthew chapter 5. Right? How can you be your sons of the Father in heaven? Do good to those who despitefully use you, bless those who curse you. Okay, pray for those who persecute you. But you see, when I came into Nashville the first time last May, and this is not any reflection on anyone here, but I kept bumping into people as I was going around trying to sort things, saying, now don't talk to them because, you know, we don't get along. And don't invite them because, you know, we're mad at them. And I was like, wow, I come from this place where we put everybody in the arena together to worship. So this is like a different, you know, I'm coming with this and they're coming like this. And I was like, okay, this is really interesting. What is God doing here? So let me tell you what happened when God called us to come to Nashville. Because I just want to quote this exactly, okay? I was out walking and praying, and this thing, go to Nashville was getting big, just like it was go to Arizona. And I know enough now to follow it. So I was out walking and praying, and I asked the Lord, what do you want me to see and know about Nashville? I want to see what the Father sees. And I had a vision of a baseball game. A baseball game. Now, I'm from Canada. We don't even have baseball. And so this was like got my attention. I mean, hockey game, I could have put that in perspective. Baseball game. And this is what I heard. There's a whole new lineup ready for bat. There's a whole bunch of people in the city been hidden. God's about to bring them up to bat. Then I heard Nashville, I didn't know anything about you guys. Nashville is a make it or break it city, a place of stars. So when I got home from that prayer walk, I had this weird thought, does Nashville have a baseball team? And I just Googled it, because we do. And this is what came up, and you guys probably don't even know this. Listen to this. There was an advertisement, and it said there was the Nashville Stars, who were a baseball team who were here from the 1930s to the 1950s. And then this is what it said on this website. By faith, the city is believing for a resurrection of this team. Greatness holds no boundary to time. And while honoring Nashville's past, we are swinging for the stars of tomorrow. And then immediately Philippians 2:15 came to me. He said, I am calling the church in Nashville to shine like stars in a crooked and perverse generation. And suddenly I knew why I was going to Nashville. And the Lord began to open it up to me. And he said, I am resurrecting some things that I was doing in Nashville 15 years ago in 2007. I kept hearing 777. It's like there was something that you guys were after, you were stepping into. And it looks like in the natural, it kind of went here. But God said that I've been brooding. I've been brooding since 2007, and there's something I'm going to release in this city right now. And you see, I understand this because I come from a resurrection city. You see, we had this hockey team called the Winnipeg Jets, and they were in the National Hockey League, the international, whatever it's called, NHL, that's what it's called. And we lost our team. We lost our team. They were gone. And it's actually kind of impossible to get an NHL team back. It's impossible to get back where you were, to get hold of that thing that you want. But our city had this resurrection dream. And there's a scripture that says, in the day of his power, the people will be willing. And when there's a desire for resurrection, well, we were believing God for this team to come back. The little kids brought their piggy banks and they dumped them into the pile because everybody wanted it so bad that they were willing to give everything they had to get it. And I believe that in this day, the children are going to come with their piggy banks. The mothers are going to come with their grocery money. There's something that God is doing here for Nashville. And so the word that the Lord gave me for you is from Joshua chapter 3, and I would like you to turn with me to that. I'd just like to read through it and highlight three things that I believe he wants to encourage you with this morning, if that's okay. Let me grab my glasses. I'm going to read through this because I like to read it out of the book. I used to like to use my phone all the time, but I like to touch it now. Okay, Joshua 3 on the wrong page. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Shittim. And they came to the Jordan, and he and all the people of Israel, and they lodged there before they passed over. And at the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, "As soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priest, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. Yet there shall be a distance between you and it, about 2,000 cubits in length. Do not come near it in order that you may know that the way you should go, for you have not passed this way before." I have to pause there. I want you to hear this. You have not passed this way before. This way. Then Joshua said to the people, "Consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." And Joshua said to the priests, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on before the people." So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And as for you, command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, when you come to the brink of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan." And Joshua said to the people of Israel, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God." And Joshua said, "Here is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, I can't even pronounce the next one, and the Amorites and the Jebusites. And behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is passing over before you into the Jordan. Now, therefore, take 12 men from the tribes of Israel and one from each tribe of man. And with the soles of the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from flowing, and the waters coming down from above will stand in a heap." So when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as soon as those bearing the Ark had come as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the Ark were dipped in the brink of the water. Now the Jordan overflows its banks throughout the time of harvest. It was a flood time. The waters coming down from above then stood and rose up in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan, and those flowing down towards the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, were completely cut off. And the people passed over opposite Jericho. Now the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel was passing over the dry ground until the nation finished passing over the Jordan. So there was three things that the Lord really highlighted to me out of this, or maybe four things. First of all, you know, they were there for 3 days. They were there for 3 days, and they were thinking about how to cross over. And, you know, some of them, their parents had been in Egypt. You know, this is a new generation. But their parents had probably built bridges across the Nile. Their parents probably knew about boats. And I believe that they may have been considering the different ways to get across. And I heard the Lord to say that some of you have been across in boats in this city. Some of you have tried to build bridges in this city, but it's not a day to build bridges, and it's not a day for boats, because they all had to cross over together. You see, this is a moment in time. This is a Joshua 3 moment for the church, where God is calling the church to cross over together. Together. And you see, the crossing happened at flood time. I mean, God could have had them cross when the water was ankle deep. But the crossing happened at flood time. And the Lord said to me, there is a flood of evil going across the nation. There is a flood of darkness coming across our nation. And God is calling us not to cross over in that moment where it all looks wonderful. But he's saying, if you will decide to cross over together, you will be able to cross over and push back the flood of evil that has been flooding this nation. You see, God has called you in the center of the buckle of the Bible Belt. In the center of a place where there is an atmosphere that is dark in some ways, that is worldly in some ways, where people are obsessed with worldly values. And he's saying, you actually have the power to take that realm. You see, and what happened in this story is that the priests were the first ones in the river, but they were told to stay in the river until everyone crossed over. And see, some of you are forerunners, and you have actually been walking in personal revival for a while. You've been in the river of God, but you've been there a long time, laboring for the Lord, contending to get people across, trying to build bridges, trying to find boats to get these people across, to bring Nashville into one heart, in the heart of the city. And so some of you are tired, and I believe the Lord wants you to know that this is a Joshua 3 moment, and don't get out of the river. Because what caused the people to cross over, to understand that it was time to cross over, was the presence. You're going to follow the presence across this time of darkness into the other side. And those of you who are spiritual, those of you who carry the presence, God is saying, stay in the river until you all get across. So I believe that God is repositioning this country for revival. And when I was supposed to come here a month ago and it didn't work out, the Lord says, something is going to shift before you come back next month. I guess. You see, the Lord is beginning to pull back the darkness all over the nation. But you are the people. You are the people. And you see, he's resurrecting dreams for Nashville. This baseball thing, it was so weird. What is God doing? He wants to resurrect the dream of Nashville. He wants to refresh the image of you. You are prophetically wearing something. You are wearing the dream of God today, Pastor Jerry. Right? You are wearing what's on God's heart, a new revolution, that we would cross over together, because this generation of young people, what don't they like? They don't like jealousy. They don't like competition. They don't like spiritual hierarchies. And so you sitting here who leave your churches for a day, you come to Nashville Worship Alliance to be one heart for this city, you're the first ones in the river. You're the ones that are watching as you place your foot, that it's opening up before you. Listen to what James Gall posted a week ago. No, it was actually, that's not true. It was a month ago, because I wrote this before I came last time. He said, I have a warning for us. He wanted to be here today, by the way, but he's running a mentorship that was put in place before. So he's blessed us to do this. I have a warning for us. We could miss the great harvest if we're competing with one another. In fact, we could miss our portion of the great harvest if we are comparing our model to someone else's while having an attitude of superiority. But rather, could we be cheerleaders instead of competitors? A no-competition zone is desperately needed where we are cheerleaders instead of competitors. So what does this all have to do with women on the front lines? Here's a couple of things I heard in the Spirit. First of all, for those of you who are male pastors of your cities, why would he bring us to Nashville, the center of the buckle on the Bible Belt, the center of the Gentile South? This is what I heard in the Spirit. Real gentlemen still open doors for ladies. You see, there was a false women's movement, a counterfeit women's movement that was started in 2017 with a bunch of angry lesbian feminist women wearing weird pink hats marching on Washington. And that is not what God is doing. There is a moment in time where God is bringing the church together as never before. But what us ladies, those of us called to the front lines, we're asking for your covering. We're asking for your blessing and your help. Hang up a poster in your church. Take a handful of things. That actually really helps us. But bless what we're doing. Come out and sit in on men on the front lines. You know, I believe that you're going to, like, the send is coming just after us. So I'll tell you a story of this true story, what happened. We had booked to come here. Remember this, Pastor Jerry, in May of 2023. And Lou Engel and the Send actually suddenly posted that they were going to come then. And so James wrote to them and said, you know, we will graciously step out of the way so that you can come first. And then we left it. And then about 2 weeks later, Lou Engel wrote back and said, no, we're going to get out of the way. Okay, we're going to move what we're doing. Well, what is God doing? I heard in the Spirit call the weeping women, the wailing women, the old women, the young women, and now it's called the men, call the children. I believe there's a birthing moment that God is bringing about for this city. Because you can either have revival break out all the way around you because of something that is a little bit stuck here, or you guys can be the ones who get in the river and create something to help everyone come across. And so the second prophetic thing I got for you is I kept hearing in the Spirit, a gentle word breaks a bone, a gentle word breaks a bone. And as the plane landed in Nashville this time, I heard the voice of the Lord, and he said, a gentle word breaks a bone of contention. And I believe that you are the carriers of the grace, but that for those who are wounded, those who are disgruntled in the church, you have a beautiful, gentle word that is going to break open. I don't know what it is here. I don't know anything about it. So understand, I just came in and people went, don't talk to him. Don't talk to her. Don't do that. And I thought, whoa. Okay, guess what? You guys are in the river. You're crossing over and you're going to bring everyone with you. That's what I believe. Final thought. Courage is when the pressure on the inside is greater than the pressure on the outside. And in 2007, God released something in this city. I heard, lady, you had some kind of meetings here. You had a 777. God has actually been building a courage in you for the last 15 years. You might feel hidden. You might feel invisible. You might feel, you know, I don't think anything's happening. Listen, God is building a courage inside of Nashville into the churches for this moment in time. This is your time. This is your time to shine like stars in a crooked and perverse generation. This is your time where you are a city set on a hill. You are the light of the world and the salt of the earth in this city. And I believe that the church in this city is going to rise into this place of worship where there's a magnetic attraction to what is happening here. And you are going to be flooded with all these young people because the Send is coming to Nashville. And they're going to be coming in because they want to be where God is. And God is stirring them around the country. A revival is breaking out. But they're all going to be heading to Nashville. You are the convergence zone for what is happening in this moment in history in the church. And every one of you has been carrying it. Every one of you has been brooding and praying and calling on. And God is sending some crazy lady from Canada to say, by the way, it's happening. This is your time. This is your time right now. This is your time. it is time to cross over. And many of those kids who come to the Send are going to get transplanted to Nashville. There's something in this city that they want, and they're going to move here. And just like the first Jesus revolution, they're going to start showing up at your churches. And I have a challenging word for you to conclude with, because this happened to me in Canada. You see, in the first Jesus revolution, they were too dirty. Their hair was too long, and they didn't fit in the church. In the second Jesus revolution, they're too gay. They're too transgendered. They're too confused, and they don't fit in the church. And we don't, just the feeling you have of not knowing how to deal with it is exactly the feeling that they had of not knowing how to deal with it. But you see, just like that movie said, and you got to see the movie, there is a hole inside of us. There's a confusion inside of us that no drug and no person and no perversion can fill. And so those kids are going to begin to flood your churches because they're after the presence. They're after the ark. And as they feel it, it fills something inside of them that nothing else can fill. And so my heart for you today, leaders of Nashville, is just be ready. I challenge you to be open. I challenge you to be the peacemakers in this city. And if God tells you, go talk to this pastor, have them for dinner, break bread with them, whatever that's about, just do it. Don't allow that to be the thing that keeps God from moving here. Amen? Amen. And that's the end of what I have to say. Thank you for having me this morning.
Whoa. I think she hit it on the head.
Like baseball?
Yeah. And did you know that today's baseball team is called the Sounds?
Woo! Come on.
What do you think that means? Well, vibrations?
I believe that Nashville, like the, you know, you guys call it the worship city because God calls it the worship city. And so it is the worship city. It truly is. And I believe that, you know, you guys have seen, somebody said to me, Nashville's not like it used to be. You know, it used to be safer. It used to be this and that flood of darkness has come. But I can't wait to see how God pushes back what's happening in this city. And people walk across with no fear.
Amen.
Of the darkness. Amen.
When we stood up a while ago and we hugged each other, we said, I'm all in. There was a reason behind that. It was to stir you to thinking about being all in and supporting where this conference is coming to Belmont in May, Women on the Front Line. And I tell you, I still get in trouble, Wendy, when I talk to some of our folks in the city, pastors and leaders, who still struggle with misogyny, still struggle with going to heaven, still struggle with spiritual gifts. And I kind of get like a fly in the ointment at times when I notice that, you know, it's a work that God has to do to break down barriers and change the way we think and ungodly belief systems. So that's why intentionally I brought Wendy, and even with the storm, she found that God favored her to bring her to Birmingham this week and she could drive over. We didn't miss this appointment. It's so good. What she's saying is so true, and I want to reiterate what she said on this one point. When they come to your church, see, we don't have spiritual fathers and mothers out of the Jesus movement because they didn't know what to do with us 50 years ago. We didn't have mentors. We do now have fathers and mentors. But it's going to test you when they come in. Like a few years ago when I started Vineyard, they came in with the mohawks and the piercings and every tattoo and every place you could think. Mm-hmm. And I had parents say, I don't want my kids sitting next to them. Mm-hmm. And I think the kids picked up on it. And so they went to the green room and just had fellowship during the time when I was teaching. But I want to tell you what happened when I would end the meeting and said, come Holy Spirit. Every one of them came out of the green room to receive the presence. And they were there on the front line. Hey, hey, hey. Even though they didn't feel totally received, and formed another congregation, which they used our building and called it The Anchor, which was still exists today in this church, in this city, came out of Vineyard Nashville. But every morning that I would see them out there, I go, Lord, what do I do? I don't know what to say except this. I love you. You're welcome here. And if there's anything you ever need, come and let me know, because I'm for you. And I said that every Sunday. And that's what we have to do. Counteract all these ungodly belief systems that come because we got bias, every one of us. How they look, how they smell, how they, their lifestyles, because they haven't been fully redeemed or sanctified. It's a process, folks. Let God take, and you don't have to preach at them. Just love them and live the example before them. I'm saying this for the purpose of the tape. And some of my friends who maybe didn't come to hear a lady speak today will hear it. That's okay, Lord. We just release a blessing upon Wendy today. We receive her into this city gladly. We bless you. You are welcome in Nashville. And Lord, I just thank you right now that you have this all figured out. And we don't have to do anything except take the next step and love and support her. And I pray many here will be volunteers, since this is the volunteer state, to help out in the conference and all the needs that are necessary, the finances, the getting buses to help people come to the conference, to ushering. And guys, you can do that. They would be glad to have you help.
So when men on the front lines coming, there's actually the afternoons, there are separate men's meetings for the men. And so I think that's amazing that that happened, you know, in this context. And I do want to encourage you in something. When I talk about, do you want me to just hold this for a sec? When I talk about the revolution that we're in and all of the kids coming in who are confused in a new way, we were having a visitation of love in our church, and we have an open mic sometimes, and a young girl came up. She said, oh, I'm so excited to be in this church. I've never felt so loved before, and by the way, I'm gay. And in that moment, I could feel all the feels in the room. The old people were like, oh my gosh. You know, I could feel it all, right? And I simply went up beside her, and I put my arm around her, and I said, you know, this is Stephanie. She's our neighbor. And, you know, we did meet with her and we said, we're going to love you and we're going to have your heart. We just want you to understand, we'll probably never agree that what you're doing is not a sin. Like, that's who we are, but we're going to love you. And we've seen, like, my son's best friend was coming out of that lifestyle. And he had repented, but he's up, he's a worship leader, leads worship over the city now. Get this. He's married with two children now. But, you know, he was coming out. You know, understand? He was not coming out, but coming out of the lifestyle. And you know, he was at our church not realizing that he was still so effeminate, like wearing pretty much a dress, but it was, you know, a long sweater. And, you know, he still had this really effeminate voice. And the Lord was offending my mind to get my heart. Does that make sense? Like, he'd actually already repented. And so what he told me, I said, can you take this apart for me? And he said, I couldn't intellectually come out of this. And in fact, when my wife and I got married, we got married understanding that I might get attacked with this again in my life. But he said it was actually the presence of God. Because the presence of God completed the missing parts of me. And he said, God showed me that there was something higher. And I could go this way, but there was a higher way. So I just want to tell you what's going to go on in the hearts of those who enter your church. That's right. Just like the Jesus kids were taking every kind of drug, but there was a higher way, one way. Like, that is universal. And so many of you can be mothers and fathers. And, you know, that young girl in her process eventually tried to show up at the men's meeting. You know, with the name Sebastian. We had to deal with it. You understand what I'm saying? It's like coming in with real dirty feet. But see, the Lord, his blood is enough. I received a prophetic gift this week from somebody. It was like wrapped up and it said, his blood is enough. And his blood is enough for anything. And so that's my heart. Can I just, before you pray for me, can I pray for you, Jerry?
I wish you would. I was going to say, I want to get some of this. You carry it. And one thing I'll add about this, the gay lifestyle guys, this is where you really get tested. When 5 years ago, the Lord said, I want you to invite them to live in your home in the basement. And I did. And he's been discipled, and he's given me permission to tell that he is now free, walking in wholeness, because of just a personal investment. And I didn't want to do it. I was saying, Lord, do I have to? And I'm so glad that I did.
So I think I shared with you before, Jerry, that the Lord, he showed me you in the spirit as like, and don't take, because remember we just said there's no, where it's like a no competition zone. So I'm not saying this as like a hierarchy, but he showed you, he showed me you in the spirit as like a spiritual mayor over Nashville. And like you, and you have all these constituents in all these churches, but your heart is so for Nashville and your heart is so for worship. And the Lord says in this season, he's giving you fresh legs. And I saw you actually going through a deep time of loss. And almost it felt like you were pruned back. Like when they prune a grapevine, it's the closest they prune any vine. Like you talk to a gardener, they prune it really tight. And it looks kind of pathetic for a while. But I feel the Lord is saying that there was multiple branches coming off of you. And actually God cuts some off. And he's actually, what he's done is he's cut off things that are sapping your strength. And in this next season, you're going to have one heart for Nashville because he has one heart. And I believe that God is going to give you outrageous favor. I see you having favor, not just with the confused community. That's what I call them, instead of all those letters, the confused community. And the redeemed community is who they are. But he's going to give you favor with unusual churches. And you've already been stepping a foot in. You see, you're practicing him, but God says you're going to come into the Orthodox Church. You'll go into the Catholic Church. You are going to make friends with bishops. You're going to have unusual divine alignments in this next season. And you're going to be known as an apostle of love in this community. And God says that as you go, it's like you're leaving instead of dirty footprints, as you know, as in the old days, you're leaving oily footprints everywhere you go. And the oil of his presence is dripping off of you, Pastor Jerry, and you're going to go into dry churches and you're going to leave it so oily that they're going to follow the path backwards into Worship Alliance. And God says that this city will have a meeting, not just with the charismatics, but you are going to have something like we have had up in Canada, release that mantle onto you, that every church in this city will come together and take communion. Every city, church in this city will worship, and you will actually have a worship alliance that is an alliance. And it is, you are meeting in United today for a reason and in these days. And so, Lord, I just pray right now. We just pray for Pastor Jerry that you will strengthen him, that you will uphold him, that you will bring such prophetic insight and wisdom into him that he will have the keys to the city, the keys to every denominational lock, to every heartbroken lock, to every lock of offense. You will unlock with the presence and the wisdom of God. And I see you going and gathering up some of the men and women in this community and even going on purpose to worship and join people in dry churches, in churches you would never think you would go into. Because God says you're going to go and make friends. You're going to make friends with young people and you're going to make friends with those in churches that are a little stuck. And you're going to unstuck them because God's giving you the keys to the locks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Awesome. All right, there you go. I just wanted to do that before we're done.
Well, ask and you shall receive. Oh, my Lord. Thank you so much. She doesn't know how accurate that is.
No, I don't.
Some of the folks here do. And I receive the word of the Lord. Do you receive the word of the Lord?
Yes.
The Lord's used this vessel and many of you so many powerful ways. Well, may God bless you this week and carry the light because you're light carriers.